Over these next few weeks, we're going to be answering some questions that I think will help us discover some truth. It will help us point toward a life-changing relationship with God. If you are here this morning and you're already a follower of Christ, I think through this study, we're going to give you a stronger foundation for your belief. But not only that, our prayer is that it will help you draw closer to the God who loves you. And so our focus today has to do with creation. You see, I think what you believe about creation determines how you view yourself and how you view life. It is the nature of human beings to search. I mean, we can't help it. If we lose something, especially something of great value, what do we do? What do we do? We drop all we're doing and we search for that which is missing. There are some things that we search for because we need them. Things like our car keys or maybe a cell phone. There are other things that require a search because there are consequences if we don't find them. Things like a wedding ring, maybe a credit card. But you know, there are some things, there are some lost items that we search for in a panic because they bring meaning to our lives. We search in a frenzy for things that we cannot imagine our lives without. Things like a missing child or a lost dog might create a feeling of desperation. My question to you this morning is this. So where does your search for God, where does it rank on this scale? With car keys being least value and a child being most valuable, how important is your search of God? You might be on a serious God quest, and if so, I applaud you. But if you are like most people, your search for God isn't at the top of your priority list. You may go to church or you may make an attempt to read the Bible, but your search for God is really not a matter of life and death. And friend, if that describes where you are, even though I can understand that, I don't want to leave you where you are. I don't want to leave you where you are because this search for God is not just another, it's not about just another pursuit. But this God quest, it is the most important pursuit because it deals with the most important topic in the world. It deals with the true story of a true God and what it means to be a part of that story and to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I have found that for many who claim to believe in God, their belief really doesn't go much beyond their desire to live a good life, to be happy, and to have God around when they need Him. The reality is that for too many people who profess to believe in God, their choices in life are the result of their own desires, independent of God. And that doesn't mean they don't believe in God. It simply means that they live as if God doesn't really matter. They believe in God, but they live as if He doesn't exist. Yogi Berra had a way with words. Yogi once said, if you don't know where you're going, you're probably going to end up somewhere else. And so our focus this morning is on the beginning. And as we consider creation, I pray that you'll realize that what you believe about creation, it determines how you view yourself. It determines how you view life. And the bottom line is this, if God really does exist, and I'll tell you, He does, and if everything you know about God from the universe and from the Bible is true, and I'll tell you it is, then friend, these truths will definitely change the way you live. So let's get started. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 19. Psalm 19 is a psalm of David. This psalm is an ancient Hebrew song that was written by the shepherd king of Israel. It is a song that has been preserved, it has been repeated, and it has been enjoyed by the people of God for over 3,000 years. Let's begin with the first four verses of Psalm 19, which say this: the heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of His hands. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth. Now these verses and others that we will discover today, they declare some profound truth that science has validated, truth that science has not disproven. In fact, I want to show you that science not only confirms, but I think science amplifies the startling truths found in King David's words. The first of these truths that I want to share with you this morning is this, that I can see signs of God's existence in creation. Notice how Psalm 19 starts out. The heavens are telling, or the heavens declare, the glory of God. You'll notice that David doesn't preface this statement. You'll notice there's no preamble. David provides no background. There's no introduction. He simply sings, the heavens declare the glory of God. In Psalm 19, David doesn't try to establish the existence of God. He doesn't argue for it, nor does he go about the task of convincing anyone. And I think that's largely because for David, the existence of God was self-evident. David says, look up. Look up into the heavens and make it, the heavens make it mighty clear that God does exist. I think King David would have thought it's silly for a man or for a woman to stand under the expanse of space. It'd be crazy for a person to look at the starry stretches of the universe and not see God's existence written like a signature on a letter on the earth. Again, there's no preamble. You hear no argument. There's no preface. The Bible simply and clearly asserts that in the beginning, God created. Church is not a sign of ignorance, but it is a revelation. It is an acknowledgement. The truth is that you and I can see signs of God's existence in creation. Paul would later write in Romans chapter 1, he said, what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Paul points out that we can see signs of God's existence in creation. Church, for anyone to look at the night sky or to look at the ocean waves or a mountain's height and not see evidence of God's existence, to do so is not an indictment against God, but I think it's an indictment against that person because it indicates their lack of insight and their limited perspective. The first truth that I can see in this passage, I see signs of God's existence in creation. But the second truth from Psalm 19 is this, that I can see signs of God's intelligence in creation. When Psalm 19:1 says the heavens declare the glory of God, that word glory encompasses not only the beauty of God, not only his wisdom and his knowledge and his intelligence, his skill, his attention to detail, his mathematical and scientific and architectural precision. Church, it really sums up all of these things which can be seen throughout creation, all of which should move us to wonder and amazement and faith. I had a professor at Southern Illinois University in Carbondale. I was in the biological science department. And this professor, he testified how science first led him away from believing in God. Through his initial study, science led him to discount the credibility of God. But as he investigated more carefully, he saw the complexity of design through creation, and this professor had a change of heart. Why? He saw signs of intelligence. He observed compelling evidence of God's design in creation. You see, some people believe that modern science has shattered all possibility of faith in a God who created this world. But nothing could be farther from the truth. Modern science has actually given us more reasons to believe David's words in Psalm 19. Modern science provides more reasons to believe that the heavens declare the glory of God. This phrase in Psalm 19:1 could literally be translated from the Hebrew to say this, that the heavens number out the glory of the strong God. You see, the truth is that whether we look from a distance at God's creation, or whether we get behind a telescope and we see things that David never dreamed, the heavens number out the glory and the intelligence of our designer, who is God. Church, the earth and the universe, they are so finely tuned to support life that it really obliterates the possibility that this earth is the result of random forces. Everything about the basic structure of the universe, it is balanced on a razor's edge in order for life to exist. The universe, it is so precisely calibrated that you cannot miss God's intelligence in creation. Let me give you a few examples that we can wrap our minds around four examples from modern science that I think support God's intelligence in creation. And listen, any change in these parameters that I'm about to share with you, they would make life on earth extremely unpleasant, if not downright impossible. The first is to consider the orbital pattern around the sun. The orbital pattern around the sun, any change in the pattern in which the earth moves around the sun would produce extreme temperature changes that would make life on earth virtually impossible. Think about the tilt of the earth's axis. The precise angle in which the earth is tilted keeps the differential in the surface temperature from being too extreme for life to exist. Then there's the speed of earth's rotation, which supports God's intelligence in creation. The speed of the earth's rotation, it keeps temperature changes and it keeps wind velocities from becoming too great. Any change in the speed of the earth's rotation would be catastrophic. One more piece of evidence. Consider the sun's distance from earth. If the sun were too far away from us, the temperature would be too cold, the oceans would freeze. If the sun were too close, the climate would be too warm, boiling the oceans off into water vapor. In fact, scientists have discovered that if the distance from the earth to the sun differed only by 2% from what it is, no plant life would be possible on earth. Now, the chance that all of those constants would take on the values necessary to result in a stable universe, a universe that is capable of supporting life, is wildly improbable. William Paley offered an analogy that I think will help. Imagine walking through a field and finding a watch whose specific function is to tell time. A reasonable person would, upon finding that watch, would conclude that that watch didn't just appear as the result of an undirected natural process. A reasonable person would conclude that the watch was the product of an intelligent designer, a watchmaker. The watch, with all of its intricate parts, it didn't just fall into place by itself. All those parts have to be in the same place at the same time for that watch to work. And friend, that same principle applies to life. Everything that has been made must have a maker. The earth exists, we live in it, we see it, we hear it, we feel it, we breathe its air. Where did all this stuff come from? There's a principle that we all understand intuitively. It's called the nature of cause and effect. The principle suggests that for every effect, there has to be a cause. For example, I'm wearing a watch this morning. How did that watch get on my wrist? Well, I put it there this morning. When I tap on my watch, it provides me the time. It tells me the date. It tells me the temperature outside. It can calculate my heart rate. It can forward text messages. How does my watch provide all that information? Somebody, somewhere, must have had the ability to collect all of this information and then display it on a watch screen. It's cause and effect. For every effect or for everything, there has to be something that caused it. Where did earth come from? The Bible tells us, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so the universe points to a very real God. Ultimately, there are only two choices. And I remind you that the choice you make concerning creation, it will affect the decisions that you make. It will affect the paths that you take in life. And the first option is that God does exist. Church, I believe that God is the most powerful. He is the most loving, perfect, awesome being in the universe. I believe God created the universe and He created everything in it, including you and me. I also believe that you and I are on this earth for a reason. I believe that your life has a purpose. And I believe that because of His perfect and His complete knowledge, that God knows everything about you down to your innermost thoughts. He knows what you're going to do or what you're going to think even before it happens. And even though God knows the choices that you're going to make, they're still your choices to make, whether for good or for bad. Just about every choice you make is really a choice between doing what God wants you to do and doing what you want to do. And sometimes your choices line up with God's will, and sometimes they don't. When your choices go in the opposite direction of God's will, things usually turn out bad. They may not get bad at first, but eventually your life will be characterized by frustration and worry. Whenever your choices line up with God's choices, in those moments that you are within God's will, and whether your circumstances are positive or whether they're not, you still possess this attitude of joy because you are operating within the will of God. Now, that's one possibility. The second option is that God does not exist. And if God didn't create the world, then you and I, we are products of natural selection. We are products of random mutation. If God doesn't exist, then there's no reason, there's no purpose for your existence except to survive and to reproduce. This second option suggests that no one knows more about you than you do. This option implies that you are the final authority for your choices. This option suggests that there is no ultimate standard for morality and behavior. So most of the choices that you make are based on the standards that you've set for yourself. And if you need to move those standards around to get something that you want in life, then that's fine, as long as no one gets hurt. With this approach, the end result, your goal is to be happy. But let me ask you, where is the meaning in that? Where's purpose in that? If there's no purpose, if there's no design in creation, then how can there be purpose and design in your life? You see, one of the problems with this second option is that you actually need more faith to believe that God doesn't exist than you need to believe that God does exist. I want to share with you an illustration where that Coke can come from. How was that Coke can formed? Let me tell you all about it. Many, many millions of years ago, an incredible Big Bang came out of nothing and it came out of nowhere. And this Big Bang, it sent a massive rock spinning through space. And as this massive rock cooled down, this brown, sweet, bubbly liquid formed on the Earth's surface. As time passed, aluminum suddenly crept out of the water. And it shaped itself into these precise dimensions that I hold in my hand. The dimensions just happen to be the right shape. They just happen to be the right size for a human hand, which I will tell you, the human hand wasn't developed until a few million years after this sweet, brown, bubbly liquid formed. Over time, this Coke can formed itself a one-time retractable lid. And out of it grew a pull tab. Centuries later, red and white paint fell from the sky and it clung to this can, forming the letters to spell Coca-Cola. Now, do any of you believe that whatsoever? No. I hope not. What are the odds that something this complex and this useful came about as a result of some random collision of molecules? It's impossible, right? This Coke can is too carefully designed to be chance or coincidence. If you agree with that, say amen. Friend, there are only two options. Either God exists or he doesn't. And at the end of the day, after weighing all of the evidence and after searching your own heart, any reasonable person will come to the conclusion that there is a purpose and there is a design to life. And when you weigh the evidence, you'll reach the conclusion and you will say, yes, there is a designer behind it all. Friend, God does exist. And he created this world in which we live. God alone has the power to create something out of nothing. And yet this same God also has enough love to make it possible for you to have a meaningful life in relationship with him. The Bible teaches that you are made in the image of a God who loves you. You're made in the image of a God who values you, a God who knows the number of hairs on your head, a God who knows and desires a personal relationship with you. I see evidence of God's existence in creation. I see signs of God's intelligence in creation. And the third truth from Psalm 19 is that I can see signs of God's care in creation. You see, this same David who wrote, "The heavens declare the glory of God." David wrote in Psalm chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. He said, "O Lord, our Lord, How majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? You've made man a little lower than God and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds, the beasts of the fields, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The songwriter marveled at God's care, which is evident in creation. Church, our God created numberless stars, and yet he created you and me. Our God oversees the paths of planets, and yet he watches over your steps. The enormity of God taking on flesh and coming to this earth to die on the cross, he did it for you and for me. And it shows the extent of his care for us. Think about this, the God who created the constellations, the God who plumbed the depths of the seas, the God who invented oxygen and molecules and DNA, he not only sees you, he not only notices you, but this same God, he not only cares for you, but he went to great lengths so that you can know his care for you. He left heaven, came to this little blue ball rolling around the sun that we call earth. God lowered himself into the form of a human being in order to live as a man and die as a criminal. Why would God do that? Why would God come? He came so that one day you would know his great love for you, how truly his love is, that he came so that you could have the opportunity to respond to his gift of eternal life. Listen, Jesus died and he rose again that you might turn from sin and place your trust in him for salvation. If you're without a relationship with God, if you can see in creation the evidence of a God who cares for you, then friend, I invite you to reach out and find the one that your heart is searching for. You can do that right where you are this morning. You just simply say, God, out of all the wonderful things that you've created, God, thank you for noticing me. Thank you for giving me life. God, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. God, I've missed your mark. But today I turn away from my sin. And God, I invite you into my life. I accept Jesus Christ and his death on the cross as payment for all the wrongs that I've done. God, I turn my life over to your control. Friend, if you choose today to begin a relationship with Christ, the Bible says that you shouldn't be ashamed of him. And I'd love the opportunity to meet with you. I'd love the opportunity to pray with you. Our desire at Friendship is not just to see people come to know the Lord, but we want to see them grow in their knowledge of the Lord and in their faith. And we want to help you grow. So in just a moment, as the congregation stands to sing, you make your way down front and you share with me your desire to follow Christ. Some of you are looking for a church home. You're looking for a place where you can grow and worship and serve. I'm convinced that God is speaking to some of you about joining this community of faith. You've been coming for some time. You know this is where God wants you to connect. And I think there are several solid reasons why it's important for a Christ follower to belong to a local church. Let me give you a few of those reasons before we dismiss. First of all, I want you to know that church membership makes visible your commitment to Christ and his people. It makes visible your commitment to Christ and his people. Membership in a local church is one of the ways that we raise the flag of faith. Church membership, it is a way in which you state before God and you state before others that you are a part of this local body of believers. Keep in mind that the church is where we live out our faith. Secondly, church membership makes a powerful statement in a low-commitment culture. We live in a culture where everything is tailored to meet our needs. Everything is catered to satisfy our preferences. And I think joining a church, it makes a countercultural statement. When we join a church, it says that I am committed to this group of people. And this group of people, they are committed to me. And I'm here to give more than I am to get. I think many people today, they prefer to date the church. They want to have the church around for special events. They want to take her out when life feels lonely. They want to keep the church around when there's a rainy day. But I think church membership is a way that we stop dating the church. And it's a way that we marry the church. And we say, I'm committed. I'm all in. Thirdly, I've discovered that church membership provides a sense of belonging. And it keeps you accountable to one another. You see, when we join the church, we're offering ourselves to one another to be encouraged, to be corrected, to be served. We're saying when we unite with the church, I want to help you grow in godliness, and I want you to help me do the very same thing. Being connected with a church family, it strengthens my relationship with Christ. And then lastly, church membership gives you an opportunity to obey God's word. See, when you become a church member, God's word teaches that we are to pray and we're to give and to serve and attend worship. Church members, they accept the spiritual guidance of the church. They are to seek the things that make for unity and purity and peace. And friend, what happens if you don't join the church? I believe you miss out on so many of the great spiritual benefits. Friendship is a strong, devoted, growing church family. And we'd love for you to partner with us in reaching our community for Christ. So I want to encourage you to think about why membership might matter more than you thought. And if you're looking to get unstuck spiritually, if you're willing to invite more spiritual accountability, more responsibility into your life, then why not connect with this community of faith? Again, you meet me down front in just a moment, and I'd love to share with others your desire to be a part of friendship. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you this morning for your word. And God, it sets us straight in so many ways. Over these next few weeks, as we continue to look at some apologetics, and God, I pray that your word will guide us, help us in our understanding. Lord, it's important for us not just to know what we believe, but why we believe it. So God, I pray that you help us as we strive to dig deeper in your word. Lord, we look around at all that you created. God, there's no doubt that you're the author. You're the designer, the creator. God, we thank you for the variety in your creation, for the glory, the beauty, the wisdom, the complexity. And Father, you want to know us in a personal relationship. You want us to know you. So God, I pray right now for those who are in this place this morning who are without a relationship with you. God, help them realize today that the place to find purpose and meaning in life is to go back to the one who created it all. God, I pray that the lost will be saved today. And God, help us as believers. Help us to pursue you more passionately. Work through us, we pray. It's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.